You know, it's interesting because Pastor Les often says, mothers, they often get commended how good of a job they do, and they do a great job, but sometimes dads, we kind of get our hands slapped. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see this when we see the kids saying we appreciate dads, but here's the thing, dads, sometimes, not saying all the time, sometimes we do it to ourselves. Okay. Sometimes we do things and we don't really think it through. I know none of you dads are like that, but I can be like that. Reader's Digest did a thing just recently on something that they really enjoy about dads, or their favorite dad story. And one of my favorites was about it was written by a lady named Joan Flood, and she says her dad, he never would go into the kitchen, or he didn't know what to do in the kitchen when he got there. And so if he's going to eat, it's going to have to be made by mom or by one of the kids. That's just the way it is. Well, mom got sick. And so dad decided what he's going to do is he's going to help out. So he said to mom, I will buy the groceries for you. And now that can't be that hard. So what mom did, she wanted to make it as easy as possible. So she numbered the things that she needed, number 1 to 7. So he went to the store and he bought the groceries and he came back. And he came back with a grocery bag that had 1 bag of sugar, 2 dozen eggs, 3 hams, 4 boxes of detergent, 5 boxes of crackers, 6 eggplants, and 7 green peppers. He did it right. You know, she said 1 to 7. So sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but dads, we need you. We really, really need you. And I want to talk today on being dad, and I'm gonna actually get some help on making this work here today. But first of all, I just want to say that when it comes to society says about dads, sometimes it's not very positive. But I really do like what Psychology Today says. It says, even from birth, children who have an involved family, a father, are more likely to be emotionally secure, be confident to explore their surrounding, and as they grow older, have better social connections. We need dads. We need dads. We need dads in our lives. We need dads to be involved in their lives, and we need them every single day. So involved dads have a direct impact on their children's future. I love the statistics that I found online, and this is what it says. Children who grow up with involved fathers are 39% more likely to earn mostly A's in school, 45% less likely to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to be suspended or expelled from school, 2 times as likely to go to college and find stable employment after high school, 75% less likely to have teen births, and 80% less likely to spend time in jail. Can I say we need dads? We really need dads. And you're incredibly important. And dads, I want to say thank you here this morning. I want to say thank you for your involvement. I want to say thank you for caring enough about your family to take time with them. Now, we had said earlier, Bonnie said earlier, there are those that don't have a dad. Maybe this last year, your dad passed away. Maybe this last year, your dad walked out of the picture. Maybe you didn't have a great dad. Can I say you have a fantastic father? He is your heavenly father that cares for you, cares deeply for you, and wants you to know that he is cheering you on. He is on the sidelines rooting for you, and he believes in you, and we encourage you to put your faith in him here today. But I wanted to talk about dads. And I wanted to talk about on being a dad here this morning. I'm not an expert. I'm really not. But I know there are 3 people in this congregation that are. So what I thought is I would get them up here because I can't do it alone this morning. So I thought I would get a few people to join me. And now if this was a game show, we would have music playing and all that great stuff. But we don't have that. So let's just give a hand for these 3 people that are going to help us understand on being a dad. And I'm going to call Rudy, I'm going to call John, and I'm going to call Bonds back to the stage at this time. Give them a hand, please. Now, you're probably wondering why in the world we have two dads and one mom. Well, we'll explain that. We'll walk through that a little bit. But these are our experts this morning. Any questions you have about life, any questions you have about anything, they know it. So after the service, for a small fee to go towards our Giving Beyond, you can talk to them and they'll make this happen. Okay, so why don't we start, you guys need microphones. Microphones work. Why don't we start by introducing yourself a little bit and how long you've been a parent and how many kids, grandkids, whatever you have. Let's start with this young man here.
Right, I'm the token younger dad. I've got two children, 6 and 4 years old, boy, girl, Aiden and Aurora. You've probably seen them running around.
No grandkids. Yet,
no grandkids.
It makes sense, right.
My name is Rudy Gerbrandt. I'm the only one with an accent here, okay? So you gotta bear with me. So I have two children and been married. My first marriage was 38 and a half years. And then my second one is 5 years.
Okay.
And I have two kids, two daughters. One lives in Coquitlam with three grandkids, a boy and the twin girls. And then Christy, the youngest one, lives in Langley, in Murrayville in Langley, has two kids.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Bonnie, and I'm representing the single moms. Okay. I've been a single mom for 12 years. I have 6 boys from the ages of, my oldest is 36, and my youngest is 24. And I have 4 grandbabies. I finally got 2 girls. Woohoo!
Okay, for fun, we know a little bit about them. The dumbest thing you did as a child, the dumbest thing. Let's start with Bonds.
So I was really thinking about this because I was not a stupid child.
You were a perfect child.
But I was married very young, and I would consider that probably, if you know, childhood. To be honest with you, so that's probably the dumbest thing I've done.
How old were you, Bonds, when you got
married? I was 16.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
I have a friend who said to me, at 16, I didn't even know what jeans to wear in the morning. You were picking out a husband?
So. Rudy, how about you?
Well, mine is very, very different. I had 2 brothers. One older one and one younger one. I was in the middle, and I was around 5 years old at that time, and we were chased by police people. We were the only ones that were foreign in that place. We were called the Germans, kids, Alemanes.
Alemania.
Yes, and we did terrible things sometimes in the area where we lived.
And you really?
Yeah. And we were chased by police, and of course we had a very good neighbor, a man that owned a grocery store, lived right in the corner. And when we ran into trouble, we were run into his place and hide behind the counter. And then the police people would come in, "Have you seen the 3 Germans?" 3 Germans, he says, "Who are they? I don't know who they are."
Wow.
"But if you ever seen them, report them to us." They get charged. But we did it several times like that, and he hit us all the time.
So he doesn't go back to Argentina or that area, yeah, because there's still a wanted poster up in that town.
That's it.
How about you, John?
All right, so there's a list. I am Johnny, after all, so little Johnny jokes and all the trouble, yeah, they kind of go along. Small town. Let's say I was an inquisitive little kid. We had one of those little electric probe testers that had a light bulb in the handle. And, you know, it's just a little needle thing, and I was wanting to go around the house checking out outlets. And I realized really quickly that it wasn't working, and I needed something else to make this light work. So I decided, well, I've got a fork, and I've got this tester. And I think you can connect the dots after that. I basically got a nice little shock. Couldn't see anything for a few hours, but thankfully no trips to the hospital, and Mom only found out about it 2 weeks later.
Wow. And from there he went into the military. One highlight in your relationship with your kids and grandkids. What's a highlight?
Well, my highlight with my children and with my grandkids is a lot of camping and a lot of
fishing. Hallelujah.
Fishing. There you are.
Can I say hear an amen on that?
Both of my daughters, the oldest one was 8 months and the other one was 6 months when we took them in the boat fishing already.
That's about the right time.
Yeah.
Gave them both a pool.
Lost a lot of nets anyway, so playing with them. And then once you had a fish and couldn't find the nets, they were floating somewhere. So, but yeah, no, we had a lot with my youngest brother, with Tracy too, and stuff like that. We went to a lake called Paradise Lake in Merritt area. Mm. And we went there for the last 20-some years. Every year for 2 weeks we went, all the cousins and my kids. And so we had a phenomenal time doing that.
So next summer when you go in, I can come and I'll clear your rod for you if you want me to.
Oh, okay, there for you. Good.
How about you, Bonnie?
We too did camping, not fishing, but camping. But I think highlights for me when I look back with my kids is probably just time together. It doesn't have to be doing anything in particular, and it's hard to get them all together at once now. It can sometimes be 2 or 3 years between the times that I have all six of them and their spouses, if they are married, and children. So just time together really is... Mm. My
good.
Favorite thing.
Right on. How about you, John?
All right. Well, we've still got the really cute and cuddly young age. So, of course, those dad naps are the best. I would say I love to see my kids grow with music. Aiden is quite a dancer. Anytime you have music on, he's basically cutting a rug around the house. Aurora's starting to sing and have fun with it as well. But at the end of the night, we tend to try to get the kids in the rocking chair, and we try to read through at least one story each. We get a chance to get some good cuddling in, some quality time. Lots of repeat stories tend to happen. And then we finish off by tucking each one in bed. Elizabeth and I, my wife, take turns basically going from room to room, so we kind of trade, but we pray with each kid and get a chance to kind of talk about the day, how things went, and the upcoming week.
Nice. No, you're not 56 like Aurora said on there. Yeah,
no, 86 like 86, Aiden.
86 like Aiden, yeah, that's right. I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, you know what would be really good is looking at what the Bible says about proper family. And I was looking at a scripture found in Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, and we're going to kind of build this on that. And Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 says this: "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Now, Rudy, you are a builder. You spent many years in building. I know that you've helped build muscles and all that stuff. I'm sure you put some things together too, Bonds, through the years. So it's important to build. Building is important, but most important is building the proper foundations in your life and in your homes, no matter who we are. I love what it says in Psalm chapter, there you go, Psalm 127, verse 1 is that one there. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, says this: "The righteous man, the righteous woman walks in their integrity. Their children are blessed after them." So here's the question I have for you. What have you put in place in your life to maintain integrity? What have you put in place in your life to maintain integrity?
All right, good one to laugh at. I mentioned this while I was reading this question to my wife, and my answer would probably be that. Quite an amazing wife. She holds me accountable. Praying together, make sure those days when I'm faltering or struggling, she is an amazing force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, okay. Keep the wife happy, I understand. How about it? What do you build in your life to maintain integrity?
I found in Psalm 10, verses 9, says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely." Mm. And for me, integrity means a lot of things, because I went to private schools. I went to in Buenos Aires in a German school. I went, and they were extremely strict, very much into discipline all the time. Discipline. And that's what I got in very much into sports because of the discipline that I learned from teachers and coaches and so on. So I remember one time playing, this was when we moved to Paraguay back because we wanted to come to Canada. We went through Paraguay. And so we played the final of the Championship of Paraguay in the Oktoberfest, it was.
Okay, just before, before you go on, just so you understand, Rudy was a soccer player, or a football player, player, down in Argentina.
Argentina, yeah. Paraguay.
Yeah. So, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, and so we played the final in the capital of Asunción, and then we won the cup and everything, but the thing was, the instructions that we got from the coach, you had to be really, really listen to him. Otherwise, the whole game will fall apart. If you don't go by what he calls out, 4-4-2, whatever it is, the game that you have to play, you stick to that game. You cannot be the outstanding player when that number is being called, you don't, you know. And so that taught me a lot of integrity. And the sad thing about some of the players that we had, they have never been in a city. And so, because we grew up in a Mennonite colony called Friesland, and because my background is German-Dutch, so we lived in this Mennonite background, they're mostly Dutch background. And so they have never been in a city. And these boys, they couldn't keep their eyes in their sockets. Every girl that walked by, boom, that was gone. Another one. So, because they'd never seen something like that. And then they come to me and says, Rudy, how come you don't do that? Well, I grew up in Argentina, he says. 12 million people in the city. If you want to look at every girl, there's no time for nothing, I said then, you know. So, but, you know, and the sad thing is because they could not control, they had no integrity, they couldn't control. And then, of course, at the Oktoberfest, the final, won the cup and everything, there was a lot of beer and a lot of drinks. So they got drunk and stuff like that. And later on, they became, some of them moved to Germany. They became totally womanizers, drunkards, and their life. Two of them died at the age of 19 that I played with. It was very sad to see that. Good boys, a good upbringing. The upbringing was in a Sunday school. They all went to Sunday school from little up. They were trained in the Word of God and everything, but they didn't have the integrity. They didn't have that solid background to stand firm, you know. I don't say that I was perfect in everything, but the prayers of my mom and so on, because my dad wasn't a Christian. My dad died a couple of years back at the age of 92, and at 91 he became a Christian.
Wow.
And so it was good to see the end, you know. But and my dad, he was a very, very good provider, a tremendous provider. He sent us all to private schools, paid everything for us. But he had also very negative parts of his that I said when I was young, I says, I will never follow that footsteps that he did. I will not do that. I will want to break that chain that he left us. He always thought that we were wimps, this and that, because you don't drink, you don't do this, you don't smoke, this and that. I said, Dad, I cannot smoke and I cannot drink. I'm an athlete. I can't do that. It's forbidden. The moment the coach sees me walking with a cigarette or something, I'm expelled. Mm-hmm. From the team, it's not a maybe. It is expelled. You are out and go to the street. You are finished with us. You know. So it was the integrity had to be there, and But I think the integrity I got from my mom more than anything else.
Right on. So. Amen. Important part, walking integrity. Bonds, anything for you when it comes to how do you maintain integrity?
It's really important to me to have a couple of really close friends. And they're girlfriends who have walked with me through some really, really difficult times. And they have earned the right to speak into my life. Mm-hmm. And so they will. Mm-hmm. And they cover their words with a lot of grace, but they will speak truth. Mm-hmm. And so there are no secrets. And we are open and honest with each other. And I think everybody needs at least a couple people in your life that will do that for you.
It's good. It's good. So I hope you're getting this. Watching how we live, because it will affect us, right? If we go the wrong direction. And having somebody that can speak into your life is so, so important. What qualities do you work hard at building in your children's lives? John, what about it? What do you work hard at building in your kids' lives at their very mature age of 3 and whatever they are, 2?
4 and 6. Well, they're
4 and 6. Sorry.
Quite sociable. So we enjoy the fact that when we're near them, we tell them they can talk with anyone, everyone. My biggest thing are about my favorite 2 words from the Bible are fear not. Mm. It held me through my military career. It also holds me now and every day. The culture we live in, the stuff we see all the time, there's just this overwhelming fear that everybody has, and it stops them from enjoying this gift that God has given us. So I'll say the biggest thing I want my kids to grow up with is joy and love and just this thrill of life and all the things that this world has to present them, knowing that there's better to look forward to, but do not miss the gift that is given here and now, and don't live in fear.
Amen. That's good. That's good. How about a bond?
I think probably the biggest thing for me with my kids when they were younger, and also even now as adults, I used to say to them, what are you here for? You're here to get to heaven and to take as many people with you as you can.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. Get to heaven and take as many people with you as you can. And then the other thing that has stuck with me, and because I guess also I see it a little bit, if you knew my history, a bit of a generational curse, and I want it broken in my kids' generation, and that is that you work unto the Lord, amen, not as unto man.
Amen.
And you do your best regardless of where you are placed.
Right on.
You have giftings, and you use them, even if you don't like your boss.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Rudy, how about you?
Well, mine is, again, different because I've been brought up in discipline, so that went on to my kids as well. And so for me, it was that when they went to school, they have to come home. And when it reached the age that they would find a job and work, you know, I did a lot for my kids. I mean, the fishing and the camping and all the holidays we took to Hawaii and everywhere else we went, you know. But I knew that that my kids would not be involved in anything that it would be bad, you yeah. know. And they were trained. I mean, we went 18 years to CLA. They went to Sunday school there, to youth and everything. So, but the regulation was at 11, you are at home. And there was never a question, never a fight about it. Never, ever did we have an argument about that. They obey that. And so, and then, and the thing that we could do for them was give them a beautiful wedding. As soon as they graduated, we bought them each a new car.
Wow.
And so that they can go to work. They worked from young up already. My oldest one worked at Safeway for many years. And my younger one worked in a donut shop and in other places. So they earned their money. The car was bought so that they pay for the gas and the insurance. I just provided the car.
Can I be adopted into your house? I need a new car.
But you know what? I never had to. They never came to me, Dad, I'm short on money because I need gas. Never, ever. Mm. they were disciplined in that way to do that, you know. And we loved them. We really had so much fun until they got married and out of the house. And so, and that goes for them to their kids as well. It goes on. It's
passing a beautiful thing. That's awesome. If you go back to Psalm chapter 127, the first verse says, unless the Lord builds a house, its laborers labor in vain. Then it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Now, protection is super, super important. Now, Bonds, you were a driving instructor for a while. You protected us by teaching these kids how to drive properly. I actually read a really good thing on Reader's Digest about a dad. He was brought his kid, 16-year-old, for the first time she got behind the wheel, and this was her first day driving. And she said that dad, instead of jumping in beside her, he jumped behind her. And she goes, Dad, aren't you going to be beside me? And he said, uh-uh. He said, I've been waiting for this day for a long time. You keep kicking my chair the whole time. I'm going to do that to you now as well. But anyway, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. It's being protecting and watching over. What are boundaries? Let me ask you, what are some healthy boundaries you put in place to protect your kids? Let's start with this young man here.
All right. So from the beginning, we've definitely tried setting up some basic patterns with the family. And as you know, when they're so young, they always change. We have the basically three rule. So we give a couple warnings and then basically hold them accountable. A lot of times I get away with being the dad, changing the tone, giving the look, and they'll fall in line. But setting rules and guidelines, we do a great job at always communicating back and forth. Elizabeth and I, when one of us warns the kid, it's fun to see them go around the other room and say, Mom, can I have this? And here in kind going, okay, well, what did Dad just say? So setting boundaries and try to teach them not to play or manipulate the system. They've been getting better at that. But it's always a continual thing right now. It's still early in the phase, and there's going to be a lot more changes, I imagine, once we get to the teenage years. Just a couple. So we're with the easy stage right now, just social interaction, when's the appropriate time to talk to people. Aiden likes to go for hugs for anybody and everyone and say hi to complete strangers. It's nice to say hi when we're there in person, but don't give a complete stranger a hug. And
That's probably not wise. Boundaries.
Boundaries. Well, I just talked about some boundaries that we did. Yeah. But some of the things that we did from very young up is to teach or to show them that we were dedicated Christians, and that was to have devotions.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Every night and every morning before they went to school, we would pray with them and for protection and guidance. And you know, the interesting thing is, what comes to my mind was then, when they got older, they were always grade 6 or 7. There was exams always every year and stuff like that. And the interesting thing is, they would always come to me, Dad, would you pray for us? For examines. Mm. Okay, I said, there's one thing I want to know first. I said, what's that? Did you study?
Yeah. That's a good start.
You put your effort into it? Yes, we did, and we worked hard on that, but I'm just nervous, and so I don't know how I'm going to make. Okay, we're going to pray that God will give you a relaxed spirit and that you will be okay. And every time they always come home, Dad, your prayer was answered. And they was right into university and everything. My daughter already had kids already, and she said, Dad, I'm doing these tests. Would you pray for me? She's in the 40s already. And so, but it shows you that you can leave a wonderful legacy behind.
Good.
And that is the trust in the Lord. That Amen. Was our main thing always in my life too. And everything I did, it was to trust the Lord.
Amen. Bonnie, how about it?
Well, healthy boundaries started early, like with your age group. And Wes can attest to some of those boundaries being broken on a regular basis, because he was my he was our kid's youth pastor. And I had a couple that broke every boundary we ever set, and lucky Wes got to deal with a couple of them on History Maker. So anyways,
I didn't send them home, though.
You didn't send them home. You should have.
I was thinking of it. I probably should have, but I didn't send them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have some kids that just literally broke every boundary we ever set. And thank God they are all adults now and healthy and love Jesus, because
that
really
is. And they're alive and not in jail.
And they're not in jail.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, because they tested every boundary. And in this phase of life, I'd say healthy boundaries are sometimes, they look more like tough love. Especially for one of my boys who really struggles. And it's, it looks like tough love.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what Proverbs says. Proverbs 14:26, it says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." And you talked about that, Rudy, a little bit, about your girls coming home to this day in prayer, and that's so good. Your fear of the Lord has obviously been passed on. And let me ask you, Bonnie, back to you, how has maintaining a good relationship with Jesus helped you in your relationship with your guys, with your boys?
Oh my goodness, that's everything. It's literally everything. It's modeled for them too, and like you, they will come for prayer. Mm-hmm. They'll text, they'll phone. My daughter-in-laws will do the same. So, you have to live out your faith loudly. Mm-hmm. And they see it and they watch it and it comes back. I'd say that's the biggest thing.
That's good. How about it, John, as far as you is concerned? How have maintaining a good relationship with Jesus helped you with your family?
Having the kids see us involved within our church quite thoroughly. We're involved deeply in SPA. We love it. Once again, just repeating that night schedule all the time, the prayers together. Literally, you get the kids that will demand, and that, "Dad, you haven't prayed with me yet," or, "Mom, it's my turn." And just seeing the kids literally demand, you know, they're not going to sleep until we go into the room, we check on them, and we pray with them.
That's awesome. Rudy, can I ask you, looking back at your teen life, okay, now you grew up in Argentina, very, very different. Are there some things you saw or did that affected who you are today and how you raise your kids or your grandkids?
Well, I basically raised my kids as my mom raised us. Because my dad, he usually worked 16 to 18 hours a day to make a living over there, and plus giving us the private school studies, you know, and stuff like that. And so for my dad, it was, unless we did something bad, then he was there to punish us. you know, call for dad. What did you do? You know, but very seldom. I can remember my dad only spanked me once in my lifetime, just once. My mom was a prayer lady. She devoted her life totally to prayer all the time, but disciplined us. We got a lot more from my mom than from my dad. I tell you that. What mom said, that had to go, you know. That was not an if or but there. But in a very loving way, always praying for us. I remember when I would come home from school or I would come home from a team's practice, I was always later home than the rest of my brothers because they were not involved so much in sports. And I would go through the sidewalk in the front door, at the front house was the bedroom and the living room, and then we walked around, and I would hear my mom praying for us. And that made such a huge impact in my life. And that is where I think I learned the integrity so much. It was from my mom, always praying. They always praying. Every day I would come home, my mom was weeping and praying for us as kids. Wow. To protect us and to guide us.
Never underestimate the power of prayer. And especially no. That your children, parents, they know that you're praying for them. It is crucially important. We're gonna bring this down a little bit, looking at providing. Back to the scripture here, unless the Lord builds the house. Providing for your families is obviously very, very important, and we've heard a little bit about this. But I want to talk to you for a second, Bonds, because we do have single moms here in the church. As a single mom, how do you navigate the father role, and how can other people help you, other men or other people?
You really do have to bring other people into this relationship. There has to be people that you trust in your life who will step into that role. So Pastor Wes has absolutely been that with my older, all of my kids. You've married three of them. But the older ones especially went through his youth group. And so he has stepped into that that gap. And then the older siblings have stepped into the gap somewhat for younger siblings as well, because there is an age gap. But I would just encourage single moms to not be afraid to ask somebody. Don't feel like you're doing it on your own, because there are men, good men out there, who will be willing to step into the gap of father. For your kids, you just sometimes need to step out of your comfort zone and ask.
Yeah, and can I just add, man, don't be afraid to love on the kids. I mean, we're in a society where you got to be so careful. Well, yeah, I understand there's boundaries, obviously. But let's show the children that we care. Listen to them, spend time with them, and hear what they have to say. Back to the scripture, it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. And here's the thing. I think it's important that we also understand that we need to be watching. God needs to be watching. God needs to be involved. But also we need to understand that, I love verse 2. It says this, in vain you rise up early and stand up late, or stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. There has to be a boundary where we take the time, like your dad working 18 hours a day. You know what? There's got to be a place where enough's enough, and you have to take time for your kids. So let me ask you this, Rudy. How do you make time for your kids and family, even in a hectic schedule? How did you do it?
Well, I was in this part, I was a little bit more disciplined, and I had it a lot easier. I lived in Canada compared to where my dad lived.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a huge, huge difference. Here, I just was in construction for almost 50. Now in August, in the end of July, I'm here for 50 years already in Canada. So, but I've been in construction for 45 years. But I made it from Monday to Friday. Saturday, I didn't work. And then it was from 7 o'clock or whatever till 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and that's it. And then I had my evenings with my kids. And on the Saturdays and Sundays we had it with the kids. Saturday we spent going to the park, Bear Creek Park. We were there so much. I mean, the people thought that I owned the park already. So
you did. Taxes. You had part ownership.
So. But that was what it was, you know. And after that, we went to McDonald's or anything like that just to spend the time. Ruth was working at that time, too, so she had afternoon shift nursing. So it is a matter of working your hours of the day. What you can accomplish in 8 hours, you know, you can do it in 6 hours or whatever, but you have to give time for your kids. I mean, that was the happiest moment in my life when my kids were born. I mean, that was the greatest thing in my life, besides buying my first car in Canada. That was...
Car, kids, car.
And for Peter out there, it was a Montego that I bought first. There you are, Peter. Yeah. No, and I forgot what I wanted to say now.
I think you got it. Let me ask you, as we bring this down, I'm going to turn this to John for as we slowly bring this to a close. What was the happiest, you were talking about the happiest moment and proudest moment of your life. What about your happiest, proudest moment of your life?
It's a fun one to list out. Quite literally, I've had some really amazing highlights. My move to Canada, marrying an amazing woman, shortly after going through everything from war, military, and then getting the first chance to hold each child when they're born. I remember the cute time with Aiden. So I'll try cutting it down to a little bit shorter story, but he spent the first 5 days in NICU, so he had a little bit of fluid on his lungs and whatnot, and we didn't really get a hold of him the first few minutes out. You know, Elizabeth got the chance to hold him really quickly, and then they took him in. It was the very next day I finally got the chance to hold him, and I walked, and the nurse just looks at me, "Do you want to hold him?" I'm like, just hand me my son. And I remember laughing because I'm holding him and getting some daddy time, and they were prepping some formula, getting ready to feed him, and I'm feeding him. And the funniest part about it and joyous moment is just him looking around somewhat alert, and this is literally 1 day old, and Aiden was born with his full head of hair and his mom's beautiful eyes. I'm looking down going, was lost for words. Amazing, amazing time. Aurora, same kind of thing, but we got the opportunity to basically hold on her from the moment she was out. She was a cuddler. And children being born, marriage, getting to spend time with this amazing person and watching our own gifts from God and that growing up, and we're just at the start of it.
And you look at that and you say, I did this. That's amazing. How about it?
I think probably my greatest moments and happiest moments are like every other parent's graduation, marriage, as such. But honestly, what tops it all is when I see my kids live out their own faith. Mm. When I see them do and say things that they have been raised in all their lives, but I know that they're owning it. It's their faith, and they're walking it out. I think those have to be my greatest moments.
Awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I love what the scripture says. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful it is for a man who has a quiver full of them. Let's bring this to a close here as our time is pretty much gone. If as experts, let me ask you this in closing. If you could give one single word of advice to the church, let's start with you, Rudy. One single word of advice to the church, to dads, to moms, kids, singles, what would it be? What would you tell the church today when it comes to, from a father's heart, what would you say?
Well, first of all, for me and to pass on is to trust in the Lord. That's the key to everything, is to trust God. When things go wrong, go sideways, some kids that grew up in Sunday school and youth and everything, all of a sudden they decide to go a total different direction, you know. And it's not to give up. It's not to accuse God now and put Him down or doubt God at that moment. Mm. It is to keep trusting the Lord. Because what you have sown, that is what you will reap. Mm-hmm. And when we sow good things, we will reap good things.
Amen.
When I work with my fruit trees at home, the same thing. If I don't do nothing to them, I don't prune them or do nothing, I will get nothing. Mm. That is what it is, you know. But if you put manure in them, you do this, you trim them, and you do a lot of things, the tree will show good fruit.
Amen.
Good fruit, you know. And that is, to me, is the key thing is just to trust the Lord. Because they've been brought up in a Christian way, they will return in the Christian way. That's a promise of the Lord. Mm. And we have to keep that promise. Doesn't matter what they're doing now. It might be a total thing that you thought would never, never happen to your family, but it did. But the thing is that God will, as long as you trust him with all your heart, with all your might, with all your power, trust him.
Amen.
And that to me, my girls, well, my oldest girl is not walking in the ways of the Lord now. Although she's been brought up and everything, baptized and dedicated to the Lord in the service and everything, now she has gone kind of like sideways. I don't know, New Age teachings or whatever that is now, what they have. I don't understand all the new things that what they are teaching in school now, but has brought a road that is going sideways now. But I trust the Lord. Not that I just trust him and don't do nothing about it when the chance comes to speak, but I have to be intelligent enough not to make them angry as I instruct them in the Lord again. But it is to continue to pray.
Amen.
Prayer is the key to all of this, is the key.
Amen.
Pray and trust in
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. John, what about it? As an expert, what can you tell these folks?
I just reiterated it. Prayer is powerful.
Mm. Amen.
And my hashtag, choose joy. Absolutely. There will always be circumstances and moments in life that will rob you of happiness and challenge you as a parent, even not as a parent, and really it's just a matter of choosing joy.
Amen, amen, amen. Dads, yeah, give him a hand. I want to thank you as dads for your investment, and single moms, we want to honor you here this morning as well. You provide, there's a lot that goes into it, and we want to give you a little gift here today, and the reason we give you this gift is, let's be honest, we do the best barbecuing in the house, right? Come on, dads, right, come on. So we're going to give you a lighter, and the lighter is to start up your barbecue, but it's also, I want it to be a picture of the fact that God has called you to be light. He's called you to be the light in your home and to set an example, and maybe a little bit of heat as well. There's times you have to do that as well. But we're gonna close in prayer. I've asked Pastor Les to come on up. We're going to pray for these folks, but can I get you all to stand? We've gone a little bit past the hour. That's okay. You won't die. The roast won't die. But we're gonna pray blessing on dads and on these folks as well at this point in time. Pastor Les.
Let's pray. And as I'm praying today and as we're praying together, maybe you want to think of your dad and pray for him if he's still alive. If your dad is not still with us, pray for somebody else's father. Maybe your son, your daughter, somebody that you know. But let's just personalize this individually this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that we do have a model, we do have an example in you. And Lord, we want to be the kind of fathers that you are to us. And we do thank you for those that have represented different groups this morning on the platform, but Lord, in this room, we do pray for every father. We pray that you would grant them wisdom from on high. You said in your word that if we lacked, we could ask and you would give it generously. We ask for strength to stand strong in the times of trial and testing, in the storms of life. And I just pray, Father, that you would make us examples to those around us, whether they be our children or other children. But Lord, we are concerned about this present generation and the influences that come from so many different sources. And we pray that you'd make our homes bastions of strength, Lord, where they can learn what it is truly to love one another and where they can learn what it means to trust you. Father, we just pray for that kind of wisdom and direction. And Lord, we also pray that the dads represented here today would know the joy and the reward of serving you and leading their families. So Father, along with the great sense of responsibility, we also pray for that sense of blessing. We pray blessing on our dads, blessings on our parents, blessings on our homes. And Lord, we just pray that whatever generation we represent, whether it's a grandparent, a parent, or even a child, Lord, young person, that every one of us would do our part to cross intergenerational barriers and to love one another in Christ and to be everything you want us to be, whatever stage we're at. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, folks. Thank you, the three of you, for sharing your wisdom. God bless you. Do something great for your dads. We wanna bless the three of you with a little gift. This one's because you're wunderbar. This one because I know you know like coconut, and everybody loves Toblerone. So, God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.